As fast am I, it's just after midday, Monday, on Friday, Jehania and Niall Laird feed me Lunaston, and this is Manx Radio's Man and Line. It's me, Phil Gunn. He's bound to get those buttons right one day. Apologies to yesterday's texters, I'll try to get through them today. What would you like to talk about, though? What is the most trivial thing, the least important you can think of to grumble about? Apparently, we were too highbrow yesterday. Apologies to Tam for that. And sadly, I didn't add another TT victory in my bizarre dreams last night. Not enough cheese, I suspect. This is your programme, so please call and tell us what you think. If you've got a question on anything to do with government or living on the Isle of Man, anything like that, we'll do our best to find an answer. Or indeed, if there's anything else on your mind this dinner time, call 66 13 68, or you can text 166 177, or email studio@manxradio.com. But I do want to try and get some, at least, of yesterday's texts done. So let's have a look. The first one here. Government needs to attract new higher paid workers. This doesn't seem to be happening, so the future support for our NHS pensions, etc., must be in jeopardy. I'll get it right. That's from Gaz. My friend's dad worked up at the hospital, and he gets 65k per year pension, index linked. He's been retired for nearly 20 years and could live another 30 years. How on earth can the taxpayers keep paying this? That's from Jimmy. Now, this was more difficult to get to. How do I find that? There it is. Oh, yes. Ha! So it wasn't a dream, because he is the first Julian, now drunk on his own self. And a smiley, laughy face there. That was from Simon. Well done to Julian. Yeah, you see. Well done to Julian. Governments can always manipulate statistics. Why does our government always think we're big, important players on the world stage? We're not. We're a tiny little island. What we do has no effect on the climate. That's from 068. I'm not sure that's entirely true. I think it does have some effect on the climate. Maybe not a big effect. Then, hi Phil, when did we become a nanny state? A good cold winter snap helps with pension deficit, so insulation of homes will cost the country more in the long run. That's from Rob. Yes, okay. My son got turned down on an apprenticeship course because he couldn't get the grades required, but a criminal gets his for committing a crime. Make it make sense. Only our government, eh? That's from texter ending 114. Manx Radio need to get a statement from government about climate targets if we are so out of sync with the UK. That's from Gaz. And our emissions are lower than UK now, and reductions are happening naturally now, all the time. People are fitting solar panels, insulating homes, etc. This will continue. There is no need to spend vast amounts on wind farms. Rolls-Royce are developing some nuclear power units as an example of things being worked on. Stop setting unrealistic targets. That's from Liz. I'd like to know what's happening to the questionnaire about paying for fairer care, I think. I took lots of time to answer it fully, but as usual, it seems to be in the long grass, and that's from H. I'm not sure it is. I think I spoke to the Treasury Minister not that long ago, and I think they are still considering how to progress that. Hi Manx Radio, if there is no clear revenue, ROI and consumer electricity savings benefit for the Isle of Man and its consumers as a result of any wind farm development, then this is a virtue signalling business case that should never be passed. Well, that would be correct, but I guess that the developers think that there is a benefit, and indeed government thinks there is. The damage to our shipping routes, seabeds and marine life needs to be carefully considered. Also, what is the real life cycle carbon footprint benefit from the concrete foundations, steel and turbine blades, when compared with our current gas turbines and imported green electricity Finally, the unregulated MUA continues to fleece its Isle of Man customers. That's your opinion, based by not passing on discounted electricity as gas prices have reduced. Gas prices are now less than in 2019 pre-Ukraine war. We need an investigation of the MUA profiteering. Thanks. That's from B. Well, that's we've still got a few to get through on those. I think we're halfway through those texts, but I've got lots of people now, well, Bonzo and David anyway, on various lines. So Bonzo is on line one.
Yes, I'm not quite sure if I'd describe myself as lots of people. I mean, well, I need to lose a stone.
Two is more than one, isn't it? So
yes. So I'll just talk about that with my multiple personalities, you know, offline, and we'll see how that goes.
Have you got a most trivial thing you can think of to complain about?
Oh, a most trivial thing. Oh, there are so many. yes. The people who don't put the communal bins out, who keep the communal wheelie bins in their own place, and then just put them out for when, you know, very quickly when the bin wagon comes out, and then pull them back in again, leaving other people who are supposed to, like me, use the communal bins, you know, with no bin to put anything in.
Yeah, well, that sounds trivial enough.
So that's one of yes, it's not really trivial enough, is it?
But for you, I guess that's quite important. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure you didn't ring up to talk about triviality.
No. Otherwise, I would have prepped for it. Yes.
Well, exactly.
Yes. Continuing our conversation yesterday about wind farms and energy, and indeed then touching on issues of Manx sovereignty. Just commenting on a couple of things that other people were texting in and messaging in, emailing in about that you were referring to. I mean, Liz, I think it was, who was saying, oh, why on earth are we doing this? In terms of net zero, we're such a small place, we have no influence in the world, etc. Well, apart from being, you know, an offshore financial centre of some size, we, of course, have a shipping registry and an aircraft registry of some size. And the emissions from that, I think, are part of the emissions that are counted from us.
Yeah.
It's a Manx registry, so they are our concern. So that may explain as well to, I think, Julian's comments on the 2018 baselining, and also probably the fact that we didn't have any ruddy great coal power stations. Which a lot of the other people did.
Yeah, I mean that date. I mean, really, it was an arbitrary figure. It was the date that we felt, or the Isle of Man government felt, was the most likely that was going to be the most accurate date. Prior to that, it was estimates and guesswork. But I suppose it still is estimates and guesswork to a certain extent.
Well, aren't most things, but it's how accurate your estimate is and how good your guesstimating is.
But I mean, going back to the point I made yesterday about the livestock on the island, there's no doubt that up until probably the 90s, we had substantially more livestock on the island than we have now. And there is now substantially less. So asking farmers to substantially reduce the emissions from livestock is possibly a little unfair.
If you're basing it on those previous figures, I mean, there has to be capacity for revision in some points. And this is another thing about targets as well. When you put targets in legislation, targets are wonderful things because they can be moved and they can be missed entirely, which is why you put them in legislation.
Well, yes. We've got a WhatsApp message in, and first of all, it says, don't focus on trivia just because one person moaned yesterday. The island faces massive challenges and threats which should be discussed. If you carry on asking for trivia, Lord help us, we'll end up with an hour talking about horse trams. Provocative. Bonzo is wrong about the registry emissions. The emissions are attributed to the nation in which the fuel is consumed, i.e. a Manx registered fueling in China will add emissions to China. So Bonzo likes to sound like he knows more than he does. Do you?
That certainly isn't the case that I like to sound as if I know more than I do. And I think I seem to remember qualifying the statement anyway. So, getting back to the ideas of revenue and stuff. Well, yes, as I've said about these things about the offshore wind farm particularly, my arguments for it have never been, oh, we ought to lead the world, oh, we ought to have the moral high ground on this, oh, it's good for it'll save the planet, etc., etc. Those are very much secondary considerations and don't really have much bearing on the idea of thinking about it in terms of government policy. What you would think about, of course, is cost-benefit analysis and money, in particular. Money. If we get the deal right, and this is the point, if we get the deal right, then we get much needed money on a regular and agreed basis on which we can make plans in the medium and longer term, rather than in the kind of slightly hostage to fortune situation that we are now. And if we can get that right, then that's fine. But the point of the wind farm has always been not to provide power for the Isle of Man. It's to sell power to the UK, and we get money for having it plonked in our on our seabed and in our waters. That's okay. What it's for.
Well, it may well be, but we could get power from it, I guess. Go on.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, of course, that Ørsted, I think, has said they will pay for the cable. But they haven't said that they would pay for all the expensive infrastructure at the end of the cable.
You can't expect everything for free, can you? Another text in. So planes and ships that make emissions travelling all over the world are attributed to the Isle of Man because they are registered here. That makes no sense at all. That's from Mark. I'm not sure that is the case, though, is it? I think once you're travelling outside of a place, it's a different matter.
But any vessel or any aircraft that is registered to a nation that abides by the laws of that nation, as well as by international law.
Fair enough. Well, we need to move on because again, there's lots of people wanting to ring up. David Quirk is
you're popular, Phil.
Well, I can't imagine why. But anyway, right. Yes. So thanks for that.
Then, thanks. Take
cheers.
Yeah, okay. Bye. Bye.
So David is online too.
Mr. Gorn, we always get a different point of view from you and
some
other presenters.
Well, I don't have a point of view. I just provoke people. That's the point of being a presenter.
I know you used to know. But the good news is, from down south anyway, that the millionaire fella has had approval for his turbines, which are 42 feet in height. What it doesn't say in the Manx Radio News thing is how much they're going to produce, and is that going to be for his land, his own use, or will he be able to shunt that to the grid? Which is, we need a bit more clarity on, I think, on that one.
I'll have to declare a bit of an interest in that Arbury and Rushen Parish Commissioners, of which I am the clerk, objected to that. And the objection was that the turbines were being built or proposed to be built in an area which is specifically protected in the planning law. But obviously, the inspector and the minister felt differently. I understand it, the electricity was for primarily, at least, for the use of the owner of the property.
Right. The other thing is, too, I mean, how people would realise that we have a mix of wind turbines, we have a mix of PV panels there. You know, I've got 12 on my roof now since, well, 3 months now, and I get an electricity bill now. I had one about a couple of weeks ago, which I announced, £27, and I got discount off that. The only thing that concerns me is from the Manx Utilities is we pay 29 pence for the unit and we only get 9p back. Hmm. I mean, that's the question. Is it fair? You know, when they're shunting that back out onto the grid again, if it was for community gain that, you know, the 9p, you get 9p, that would probably be fair enough, but you don't get that. And the other thing about planning too, there was a planning application, nothing to do with me at all, but I thought it was a bit weird regarding a hotel on the prom where they didn't consider Section 13 agreements. Obviously, they couldn't provide first-time buyers from a hotel or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But the principle is that when you can't provide stuff, is that Section 13 agreements and how much money's in that pot and who can use it and spend it, who delegates it out. It should be for community gain. That's right round the island as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't see any of it, do we?
Well, government would...
When did you last stop where you were?
I don't expect much these days. But this has been such a good year for me in the garden with the spuds and the veg and the fruit. So that's enough of a bonus for me. I don't need anything from the government.
An alternative to on the we have an orchard in Onken, down Blackberry Lane. There we have tons of apples. This year we've got pears, which are actually growing.
Yeah,
and. Getting a bit bigger. We've had damsons and also, plums.
Great.
And they've all been to the community, which is great.
Good. Yeah, no, that's a great idea. Anyway, I will have to go because there's another caller. It's a mystery caller. I don't have a name or a topic. Oh, no, here we go. That we do. Actually, it's David. It's... So, yes, it's another David. But thanks for that anyway. And, yeah. So, where do we go next? We'll go to the other David. David.
Hi, Phil. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to... I heard yesterday's programme with regard to Orsted and the wind farm development. I just recently read a very interesting article by Andrew Neil, well-respected journalist, both television and the written press, who mentioned that Orsted is currently considered to be a financial basket case, surviving only due to the prospect of a multi-billion pound bailout by the Danish taxpayer. So I'm not sure these guys are the right people to be getting into bed with. But he did go on to say that it was a thing on the cost of offshore wind compared to gas. Now, I can tell you these are accurate figures. Gas recently was costed out at £60 per megawatt hour. And then with the carbon emission levy of £15, it comes out at £75 per megawatt hour. Offshore wind, with all the subsidies and everything, comes out at a grand total of £190 per megawatt hour versus £75.
Where did you say you were getting those figures?
This is from an article by Andrew Neil.
Right.
You must have heard of it.
He's
ex-editor of The Times.
I actually met him once.
Yes. He's a super intelligent guy. Hmm. And he's the one that none of the politicians like to be interviewed by because he holds them to account.
Yeah.
But anyway, these figures, I have no doubt, no reason to disbelieve them. And what it basically means is that the offshore wind is one of the... And it's obviously being promoted by the zealot Miliband, the crackpot that's in charge of energy in the UK. And this is why lots of British heavy industry is struggling and going to the wall because of the costs of energy.
Mm.
It's that we've got some of the dearest energy in the whole of the world, not just Europe, the whole of the world, because of the government's strategy in the UK. As far as the Isle of Man goes, we're 32 miles long by 11 wide. To sort of pursue a net zero agenda is absurd. Because of the, any carbon emissions from the Isle of Man will make no difference whatsoever. And if we've got gas, if that is proved to be correct, and that was brought ashore, and it was within our territorial waters, it would provide sustainability for generations to come. It would enable the government to increase its investiture in capital programs and just public services. The wind will give us nothing compared to that. And as I said, our strategy of net zero is absurd.
So why do you think so many people in Tynwald at the moment, so many ministers who have had, I guess, pretty sound advice from their officers, are so convinced that this is going to work?
Well, I guess that those officers are reading from the same manual as the officers in the UK. It's absurd. The difference in the price of 75 per megawatt hour compared to 190, primarily because of all the subsidies it gets, is, and then down the line, the bottom line is, the consumer pays the price for their vanity. Oh, look at us, we're going green. It's nonsense. And the sooner, I mean, it's a recorded line, so I can't say what I'd like to say, but you say, what about the politicians and the officers? Why are they pursuing this? I don't think I need to answer that. I think the people of the Isle of Man know that.
Okay.
For what's gone on over the last two or three years, total ineptitude. But that's another story. But I just wanted to get it on the thing that the actual company that the government or whoever are talking to are considered a financial basket case right now.
Well,
they've given back, actually, I don't think I mentioned, they've given back all the licenses they were awarded by Miliband for a development called Hornsea 4 off the coast of Yorkshire. So they've given those licenses back because they can't afford to do it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this progresses over the course of the next 12 months. Unfortunately, we'll have to go because I need to take some adverts, and then I've got several callers on the line.
No, thanks for taking the call, Phil. Anyway,
no, that's no problem at all. Okay.
Okay.
Cheers. Thanks then.
You take care. Thank you. Bye bye now.
As Manx's Milner's Tower or Corin's Folly. Manx Radio.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
You've worked hard all morning in IT, doing computery things, or in retail, assisting ungrateful customers, or doing whatever it is you lovely people do. But now, it's lunchtime, and you, my friend, deserve something special from Smash and Fry. Take your lunch to a new level with our delicious pizzas, fried chicken, smash burgers, and milkshakes. Lunchtime is your time. Visit Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. You deserve it.
Well, we've got Michael on. I'll come to Michael. I'll just go through a few texts that have come in. Hi, Phil. I've seen two diesel vehicles today blowing pure black smoke, one a red Land Rover, the other a tree surgeon's pickup. Why are they not being stopped? That's from Stu. Hi, Andy. Well, Andy's got a Manx accent today. I'm sure our government can afford to pay geoengineers SRM to make the weather beautiful. Oh no, this is a previous one. Sorry. Where are we? Yes, this one. We'll read this one out and then I'll go to Michael. Whilst this will probably only be considered a trivial moan by your male listeners, following on from the story on the midday news and related article on your website, personally I find street harassment on the island much worse than in the UK. I'm almost never grossly catcalled or shouted at in the UK, whereas here I don't even feel comfortable wearing shorts when walking out in public. The street harassment I have suffered on the island has greatly affected my self-esteem and the way I go about day-to-day life. The article on Manx Radio's website says that you've asked the constabulary for their comments on the issue. Let me save you time. The Isle of Man constabulary couldn't possibly care less about catcalling and sexual harassment or the safety and comfort of women. Most of them don't even understand why it's offensive, let alone why it would make a female feel unsafe. I have much more to say on this subject. Thanks. And that's from R. Yes, it is an important subject. And interesting that the article on the news suggested that this was less of a concern on the Isle of Man. Final one, and then I will come to Michael. I'm pulling my hair out to hear I'm agreeing with Bonzo. The numbers are guesswork. And that's from an iPad. From Desmond, that's it. Right, let's go to Michael on line one.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, I'm just ringing up about like the way the Western Civic Amenity Side has been run since the start of the new year. We're going back to, it began really quite a bit before that, but basically the Western Civic Amenity Site is run by five board members.
Yeah.
One is representative, the commissioners from Kirkmichael, Moran, Patrick, Peel and German.
Hmm.
When I write about my concerns to these people, including the commissioners, and even after I've attended like Peel Town Hall, they won't answer emails and won't pass messages on and won't reply to anything. But anyway, I just put down like number one, the Western Civic Amenity Site has been badly run since the 2nd of January 2025. Electrical items that were working or easily repaired are now thrown straight into the skips and people are being charged for it as well. Because people started to put electrical items working in the sheds, announcements on the Western Civic Amenity Site Facebook page threatened the public as if they were children. Pay the fee or we will shut the sheds. That was in February or something like that of 2025. In March, approximately March, the sheds have all been shut solid day after day since about March 2025, allowing tons of reusable items, including furniture, children's toys, all to be thrown directly into the skips. Now, the problem with that is that's creating tons of waste that the ratepayers have to pay for. Aside of the complete and utter waste that people can reuse them, I even seen a woman come in the site with a brand new globe of the world. And the site manager said, you can't put that under the shed. It's got a battery in it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Right.
And then anyway, for months, I've been writing to Patrick commissioners, Peel commissioners, MHKs to point all this out and get no replies.
Hmm.
Even attending Peel Town Hall, messages passed on, no response.
And what do you think why do you think that is, that you're not getting any replies?
I don't know. There is a reason, but I can't really go into it on here. It's some sort of a scandal. But anyway, the current WCAS, that's Western Civic Amenity site manager, lets no one take anything, citing health and safety as an excuse for everything, when health and safety, by its own admission, have never interfered with the day-to-day running of the site. Since Mike Rose left, this site has deteriorated into what was a well-known site into a dump everything and get out site, like they do in the UK.
Hmm. Just in defence of the site manager, I mean, some of the problems are, you wonder where common sense sits these days. But yeah. I know, because obviously as clerk to a Southern authority, we have dealings with the Southern site, and I get to understand a little bit more about reasons, because again we've got similar issues in the South, but there are first, on the one hand, genuine reasons, particularly relating to safety concerns about people taking certain items, and then there's also I guess the issue that you have to get insurance, and if you don't follow appropriate procedures as defined by the latest standard, then chances are you won't get insured. So there's quite a lot of issues which make what to you and I would seem like common sense really difficult to deliver. Sadly, though, Michael, I've got loads of texts, and Julian is waiting online too. I'm glad you rang and raised that issue. And I'm sure if anyone from the Western Civic Community site is listening, we'd welcome their views. So thanks for your call, Michael.
Can I just one or two more things? It's just that this newly appointed site manager puts in place a battery bin that now has a slot cut in it to stop people reusing batteries. Like, I take some sometimes from a solar light project, so 1.2 volt AA cells, right? Now, this bin is also locked to stop people taking items, claiming it's under health and safety. Now, I have a problem with that, because when you put a slot in a bin like that, rainwater gets in and corrodes these batteries, and these batteries contain nickel cadmium and metal hydroxide, and assuming that they put a drain hole in the bottom of the bin to stop the rainwater accumulating, am I not right in thinking that some of this liquid could actually go onto the Western Civic Amenity site's concrete floor? Then there's the gas bottles. People are not allowed to take them. Now, if you think about it, I'm talking about LPG gas bottles, sometimes a quarter full to one, two-thirds full. They're useful for, like, powering a gas cooker. I've used a couple myself. What he does now is he sticks all the gas bottles under the locked-up sheds that should be there for reuse, and puts some of them in the television section, like, for their own use. Mm. Now, the problem I have with that is that's nothing to do with health and safety, because people have been going to gas stations all over the island, picking bottles up, putting them in their car, and taking them home for years. So that, for a start, is rubbish. There's another one. The site manager claims Douglas Civic Amenity site were breaking the law when they advertised for Mr. Fix-It. What they do is they repair items. I found out that they're not breaking the law. There's no law to be broken. There's all sorts of things like that. And then the board themselves are disjointed. They hold a meeting on a Tuesday. No one knows where it is. And they're sort of disjointed, uncoordinated. Half of them don't turn up. Staff have actually left the site because of the way they run it. I've studied it for quite some time, so I do know what I'm talking about. And what's needed is it needs a brand new board to be reinstated, or even close that place down altogether and just put recycling bins in Peel or somewhere, like, so people can put their garden waste in there.
Well, I'll have to leave you there, Michael, because I do have more people to get to. But thanks for calling in anyway, and raising your concerns. And if anyone is listening from the Western Civic Amenity site, then please give us a call and put your side of the discussion. Let's have a quick look at a few more texts. First of all, that WhatsApp message was correct. What's Bonzo's solution to all that is going wrong on the island? Is he standing in the next election? Thanks. That's from Andrea. Are the people who want to get rid of our cows also want to exterminate the herds of wildebeests as well? That's from Liz D. Daphne, sorry, back to Classic FM. Have a great day. Okay. If Bingo, I think it's Bongo, thinks we will make money, he's living in La La Land. That's from Paul. There is... am I allowed to use the word farting? There's more bottom burps, maybe we'll use that word, and belching methane from humans collectively than farm stock. Should we cull the population to meet the zealot green agendas? That's from David. I'm not sure that is entirely true. Then faster, my Phil, please re-agriculture and local livestock. Is it known how much of each meat category is currently for, say, last year being consumed? And how much by comparison is being produced locally? And how is the difference explained? I'm sure that all those figures, well, certainly when I was DAF minister and then DEFA minister, we had those sorts of figures. So, yes, I'm sure that would be available. And it is time, I think, that I went to now to speak with Julian.
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, Michael brought up a point that reminded me of yesterday. Went to have a look at the RAF Typhoon show. Absolutely amazing. Loved that. Great sound, and you can feel that as the put the afterburners on, your stomach's rumbling as it's going past. And up by Douglas Head there, some of the close passes, I think some of the guys up there had some really good lenses on their cameras. I bet there'll be some fantastic photos doing the rounds. But I noticed, I went for a wander along Marine Drive, and the first gate you get to on the way away from Douglas, there's three new concrete posts that have been put in to put the wires up, and it seems that, I don't know if something's knocked them over, but somebody's thrown a fridge over the side, which has gone halfway down the cliff.
Oh, goodness.
So that's going to be quite costly to recover that. I would imagine they're going to have to get people down on ropes to recover that lot.
Yeah.
So maybe those tip charges in the end are going to be bringing in less than the recovery of all. If you start throwing fridges down the side of Marine Drive, it's going to be expensive. Just following on from yesterday,
yeah.
If you look at Norway and Denmark are the sort of the forefront of putting in wind energy in the world. Interesting to know, if you look at the government figures, it works out that for every ton of emissions that they're removing, it's costing them £670 a ton using wind and solar, mostly wind up there, of course. If you look at the cost that we placed on the Paul Rose Power Station when we upgraded it and, of course, dropped our emissions by 74% immediately, even with the overspend and the interest that we're having to pay on it, that is significantly cheaper than £670 a ton like Denmark are paying with all their wind net zero malarkey. It's cost us £20 a ton. So we have spent 34 times less than Denmark is currently doing, and we did it all 22 years ago.
I suppose particularly with Norway, maybe not so much Denmark, but with Norway, is they have that huge fund, which has been generated from the receipts from the oil and gas that has been extracted from their territory, so that they have a huge fund that they can use to convert to these new technologies.
Well, ironically, the second largest after Ørsted in terms of wind farm companies is Equinor. And they've just had their wind farm off America pushed back, but they're okay, because they've just found two wonderful oil and gas sites off the North Sea, off the coast of Norway.
Hmm.
So the second largest wind farm company also is making plenty of money from oil and gas. So make of that what you will. I notice also in the Climate Change Act on page 8, where it mentions that 2018 start date, which is my big bugbear, and I think there should be an amendment put forward immediately to change that to 1990, it says at the bottom, the Council of Ministers may make regulations that amend a year mentioned in the baseline. So a cynic could say that if Kervai Wind Farm is put up, the baseline year could be quietly altered in the Climate Change Act, say back to 1990, and then all of a sudden we'd have a miraculous fall in our emissions figures, wouldn't we?
I think you might mention that, though, if that happened. I think you'd probably come on the Man and Line and mention it, wouldn't you?
Well, there's a slight possibility of that.
Yeah,
by the way, I also noticed in the list that I mentioned, you know, that pretty much that all of Europe, UK, are all facing their emissions improvements since 1990, whereas ours is 2018, which means it's blind to the improvements that we did in 2003. You mentioned New Zealand. Is it 2017?
That was for methane,
Well, yeah, but if you actually look, they're including everything from 2017.
Right.
But if anybody happens to be listening in New Zealand at the moment, you had a large rollout of combined cycle gas turbines like we did in the 90s and the early 2000s, which will not be accounted for with your 2017 baseline date.
Hmm.
And basically what they're doing is New Zealand are concentrating on their primary output of emissions, which they say is agriculture. So they are absolutely hammering their own agricultural sector. And as you might remember, a long time ago, the New Zealand lamb was out of this world, but we haven't had it for years because, of course, the European Union has a common external tariff that made it uneconomical for them to send the same amount to the UK and Europe when we were in the EU. But, of course, don't forget, New Zealand relies heavily on hydro and geothermal, which is something that Jern mentioned yesterday and Graham Fox-Hume has been mentioning recently, and I'm a big proponent for that.
Well, here's a couple of texts in that you might want to respond to. Yet again, it looks like Garth are going to cost the government millions by objecting against the wind farm, just like they objected against the regional sewerage treatment plant. The village, I think, we are at a point to progress with the wind farms, irrespective of very small amount of people against it. At the end of the day, it's for future generations to benefit from. And I noted that most people objecting against it are over 40 years old. That's from Big John in Ramsey. And then there was another one here. Where was the other one?
Well, let me answer that one first,
Bill.
The people that are younger are going through an educational system where if you look at any of the textbooks, they've got wind turbines on the front page. So you've got to ask the question. It's kind of loaded in the first place when you turn the pages and they start telling you about all these things like, oh, the Antarctic's melting, but they neglect to mention that there's huge subsea volcanoes underneath the Antarctic that are actually melting the ice from underneath. And, you know, things like that where, you know, you're getting a quarter of the whole story and picture of what's going on with the climate.
Yeah. The other one, I guess you would give the same answer. The vast majority of people that are for wind power are young people. The government are taking that into account and progressing wind energy. People aren't taking future generations into account when opposing wind farms, which is wrong. They must think of the legacy we are leaving them. And I suppose the question, Julian, is what if all these scientists, and I know you'll suggest that the scientists are being paid by people who want a particular answer, but what if all these scientists are actually right? What if actually we did need to address climate change as an emergency and solve this particular problem more quickly than we would appear to be doing? Is it not a big risk to assume that they're all wrong?
Well, I've got an answer to that, but I'll just ask you one quick question first.
Yeah.
Just remind me, who's the minister in charge of education at the moment?
Well, that's Daphne Kane.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Thank you for answering that. the other one is, if you look at the Plintel organisation, they all name themselves, they're all in a list that's, I think it's over 2,000 now, including Clauser, who's a PhD physics guy. Got William Happer, who's been working for the US government for years in terms of optics to do with how the climate works and atmospheric chemistry. But if you go and look at the IPCC, they act as a department. They will not name an individual scientist who's willing to go up against and discuss any of these things with any of the scientists that have been in the game for years, who have got, you know, 50 to 100 citations to their name. So I find it interesting that the IPCC comes out with all these, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change comes out with all these ideas about, oh, it's this, that, and the other. But when you try and pin a particular scientist down and have a proper discussion in an open forum, they don't want to know, which is quite, I find it quite interesting that they won't engage.
But the
science is settled, apparently, which I think is anti-science.
If they are right, we're all stuffed, aren't we?
Yeah, but you know, what are we going to try and do? We're going to try and change the CO2 levels back to the 1840s when there were floods every 2 weeks on the island. Luckily, both bridges were destroyed in the 1881. Hmm. You had massive freezes with London, the Thames, freezing 6 foot thick. And is this supposed to be a steady state? Because from what the climate changes all the time. I mean, let's suppose we do this. I mean, are we expecting the world to stay in this utopian, perfect thing forever then?
Well,
I'm hoping
for another 30 years anyway. But anyway, Julian, I will have to go because I've got a load of adverts to take and loads of texts coming in. But thanks for your call.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks, Phil. Cheers.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Search and Rescue Dogs Isle of Man are a self-funded charity who assist the emergency services looking for lost and missing people. The charity is always looking for volunteers to help by hiding for dog training or fundraising for the charity or other support in a variety of ways. For more information, please look up Search and Rescue Dogs Isle of Man.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
It's the final week of Millie Chaps of Ramsey Sale, so make sure you don't miss out on amazing deals. That's right, final reductions can be seen in our sale window. Get down today for the unmissable offers in the Millie Chaps of Ramsey Sale.
Ramsey Garden Centre, for roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials, or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
World-class racing returns to the Isle of Man. And while the racers take to the tracks, Tesco has everything you need to fuel your own adventure, wherever you're watching. From meal deals to barbecue essentials, we'll sort your pit stops this season. Setting up camp, get race day ready with great value camping gear. With 10 stores open 7 days a week, Tesco are here to keep you on track. Tesco, every little helps.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631. As Manx is the Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina, Manx Radio.
Well, Desmond suggests, what if they're not right, all these scientists? Well, that's a good question. I suspect if they are right, it's probably a worse outcome than if they're not. Wind power, etc., may be for young people as future, but many young people are going to uni and never coming back and will not pay the costs. That's from Gaz. When I asked about the questionnaire, I didn't mean the health levy. I meant the questionnaire last year about paying for care homes fairer. I'm not sure that. Yeah, you might be right on that one. I haven't heard that. My granddaughter is 18. She does not want the wind farms. That's from Liz. It's great that Ewan knows plenty about climate change. But it doesn't mean a thing because the government are going to do what they want regardless of what people say. That's from texter ending 004. Right, very, very quickly then, we've got Diane on line one. Have we? Yes, there we are. Diane.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How can we... What do you want to tell us about?
It's just a quick thing. It's about Tilley Park.
Yeah.
Now, there's been a damage done in there, which is heartbreaking. And I just wanted to say to people, if they see anything, to report it. I mean, I don't know whether you would report it to the Parks Department, probably not the police, because they're too busy for stuff like that, aren't they? But just to, you know, people see any vandalism, to report it. Don't ignore it. Report it perhaps to the Parks Department.
Well, I don't know. I mean, vandalism is something that the police do deal
with.
Well,
you know, what happened is there, it's just the flower beds have been severely damaged, which is such a shame, because if anybody goes in there, which I do, the Parks Department have done a wonderful display. beautiful display, of course, you know. I just don't know where the Isle of Man's going. If we're going to go down this road of destruction, then people do need to, even although to some people that might be very trivial, they are flowers, but it's just the principle of the thing, you know. It's still vandalism in a roundabout fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if anybody in Hilby Park sees anything, then please do report it, even if you think, well, it's only flowers, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I just wanted to come on and say.
Well, thanks for calling and letting us know about that. And let's hope that people, if they do see this happening, they'll say to the people, what on earth are you doing that for, you silly
fools?
Well,
I certainly will.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, I just thought I'd put that one out there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your call anyway. And
thank you very much.
No problem at all. Cheers. Bye. Right, well, that's us.
As Manx as the Royal Show. Manx Radio.
Well, that's almost us. There we are. I knew it was there somewhere. Right, yes, so, tried to get through the text, but I was then said, why are you giving them so much airtime commenting on text? That's a new thing. Stop. So, as they say, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Well, thank you for listening. Thanks for taking part, those who have. That's all for today. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Thanks to Quirky for producing, and particular thanks to you for your company and contributions. Andy, hopefully, will be back on Monday. But if you think of something that you'd like to mention when the Man and I line isn't on air, Out of Hours number is 682631. You can leave a message which may be played out on the show. Coming up next, Nen des Tri, Les Christi Dee.